From the Middle is proud to be a founding member of Odd Pods Media. Hello, everybody, and welcome to From the Middle, a podcast where we are three middle-class guys living in the middle of America in the middle chapters of our lives with a point of view that is somewhere in the middle. And on this week's episode, we're here to talk to you about traveling. And we're going to be discussing all sorts of etiquette questions and those kinds of things. But in the front half of the show, Dylan is going to talk about some of the wonderful food that he partook in Alabama. We learn about, talk about some food hacks at your favorite fast food restaurant. And Corey has us playing a game of class act and thoughtful or neurotic and overly self-conscious. Find out what that means after the music. Hope you enjoy it.
Oh, for the love.
Sorry, just clearing my Mountain Dew hole.
I got my phone hole cleaned today.
That's where you keep it?
You're so cerebral, and you're so developed and evolved.
From the Middle after dark over here.
Hey, Corey. I can't smell you anymore. Where That's the heck good. Are you?
I'm in London, England, where it is currently 11:30 p.m.
That's not bad.
And I'm in a hotel, and so I'm going to try to be relatively quiet. You could just call us the traveling boys. Dylan, you just got back from Alabama. Tell us about your trip.
I did, and I want you to know I wore my South England serpent's hat just for the occasion, since you were over across the pond. Turns out if you have a whole ocean between people, you can't smell them anymore, like Kendall said. So that's good. It's good to know for future reference. I was just in Alabama. I had a delightful time. I covered almost the whole state in a matter of days for business, except Mobile. I didn't get down by the coast. So I'm going to have to do that next time. And I'm not knocking the rest of Alabama when I say this. It could be one of the prettiest parts. I don't know. I didn't get to see. But I had a delightful time. I ate a bunch of delicious food. I was all over Montgomery and Huntsville, Decatur, and Birmingham. I was all over the place. I went for work. I told one of the people I was meeting with for work, pick your favorite place in Montgomery. I'll take you out for lunch. And, you know, obviously I don't want to pick. I want to know what the locals eat. And fortunately, he didn't say like Cheesecake Factory. He said Dirk's and Dirk's Filet and Vine. And I thought, oh, that sounds fancy. And so I look it up on Yelp. I'm very excited. And it looks like what we would call in the Midwest, kind of a rundown carry out from the photos.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And we get there and it kind of looks a little bit like a rundown carry out. In real life. But it's, I think what happened was it's just very old. They've been there apparently a long time. And it's like a deli and a butcher shop. And they make a really good like meat plus two, meat plus three with all kinds of Southern meats, barbecued meats and Southern sides. And then it looks like they bought the place next to it. And then the place next to it again. And they've got like tons of beer and tons of wine and a wine tasting room. So it does kind of feel like a carryout attached to a strip of businesses, which had an awesome coffee shop across the street. And I had some incredibly good barbecue pork. I bought some seasoning to bring home with me. I thought the airport security might call bomb squad, but I got that through security.
Good, good.
It's got some sweet barbecue seasoning I'm excited to try on something. And I had some other great food. Man, it was a good time. Patty B's, I shared on social media, apparently is like kind of Nashville hot chickeny. And I got to say, you know, when you bite into like a peach and it's really ripe and the juice just drips like all over uncontrollably, that's how the chicken was. It was like chicken juice. And it was like awesome and a little gross at the same time. Like it was so juicy. I would bite into the crispy chicken and then just gushing chicken juice and like grease. It was delicious.
I'm curious. Was there any heat on that chicken that you had?
There were options. I did not. I probably didn't pack enough
hog on the spicy options the first time that I went to a hot chicken place, and that was a mistake.
Yeah,
and like, and I love spicy. Like I like challenging myself. I want it to be just on the edge of unenjoyable. Mm-hmm. Like I like that feeling, but anyway, sorry, I was curious.
No, I'm glad you asked. It was delicious. So I don't know if it's originally from Birmingham, but it was certainly an awesome stop. And their mac and cheese was like a pimento mac and cheese, which was a really nice spin on traditional mac and cheese. And they had like different sauces they're known for, like their ranch is really good. And then this, so I'm like dipping everything in like different sauces and pouring sauces on mac and cheese and chicken and whatever. It was so freaking good. I really like that. And we had some other places. I tried like flounder cakes while I was at another place with polenta, corn polenta. Just, I love just trying stuff I've never had before. We talk a lot about food. And so anytime I can do that, I certainly try to. So lots of delicious food, saw lots of scenery, drove all over the place, and had a ton of fun. So I'm excited to go back and eventually have Hattie B's again, because among other places, because I had a great time. Super delicious.
Did you have any interesting travel stories, airport, airplane, anything like that?
Oh yeah, gosh, I wish I had a really interesting one. I did think it was kind of fun on two of the flights. I had no one sitting next to me. So that's a blessing and a curse if you want funny stories, because there's no one around to do anything obnoxious. I did think it was really nice. One of the flights from Birmingham, I had to fly home through Detroit, unfortunately, and go through Michigan. And
the promised land.
Yeah. One of the flight attendants, so incredibly nice. There's this father and son in front of me. And well, presumably father and son, I don't know. It was a grown up and a kid. So there's a grown up and a kid in front of me. I would guess the kid was about 6 or 7, and that flight attendant had to have brought him more snacks than almost the cart could hold. Just throughout the flight, just a couple bags of like almonds, and he'd throw them at the kid, and then chips, and he'd throw them at the kid. And so it was really, really sweet to watch. Yeah. But it's flying through Detroit and Atlanta, man, you get to see all kinds of people. So I'm sure there were stories. But again, everyone like was polite, and you know, it just had a really nice time. So it was good flying. I avoided people half the time. No one sitting beside me, and that makes it really enjoyable. There was inevitably the crying baby on the last leg of it home, and I just threw in my noise canceling Bose earbuds, and that baby was gone, and I just enjoyed some podcast listening for the Detroit to Columbus leg of it. So incredibly, I if Bose would sponsor us, I would love that. Incredibly nice little last leg of the flight with that. But I did see while I was traveling, I was watching a reel, and I got to ask you about this. It was one of those guys does like a food hack, and somebody's like, try this Taco Bell food hack. Well, some of the food hacks I'll watch if it's a place I actually go. And the food hack was dumb. It was the guy's like, here's what you do. You order a quesadilla and you order 3 tacos and you open the quesadilla and then you just lay the 3 tacos in it and fold it shut. And I'm like, I'm not saying I wouldn't try it, but that's not a food hack. It's not like a mystery menu item that like nobody, that's just what like a 10-year-old does when he's playing with
the food stack.
Yeah, that's just, here's how to rearrange your food in a way you've never tried before. So it got me thinking as we're talking, if you have any actual food hacks, like secret menu food hacky things, one that we used to be able to do, Harley Alibi, a good friend of mine, was on the podcast, and he figured this one out. If you went to Hot Chicken Takeover, prices have changed. This doesn't work anymore. You could basically order 2 kids' meals and get as much food for the price of what was like the adult chicken meal. And you got all the same amount of foods inside and whatever, but you got like an extra slice of bread, and it felt like a little bit more chicken out of it if you ordered it that way. So that was like a good, go here and you'll save 50 cents and get a little more food. and whatever. That feels more like a hack. Or people that are like, if you go to Chipotle, you can literally get double of every single thing except meat, queso, and guac for free. Like, you know, you can ask and they'll just keep piling it on. That feels like a hack. So anyways, I didn't know if you've seen that stupid quesadilla taco one. Not really a food hack.
But so Raising Cane's chicken tender place around here, like they're, if you have kids, like the kids meal, it comes with a little bit of fries and two chicken tenders. I have three kids. The Caniac combo comes with six chicken tenders and a lot of fries. And you can substitute the slaw for toast. Everybody gets half a piece of toast. Daddy gets an extra little piece of half a toast. And that is cheaper, much cheaper than buying three kids meals. Caniac combo is like, if you're, I feel like if you're going to Cane's and you're not by yourself, you should just figure out how many Caniac combos you need to feed everybody. Because one of those easily feeds two adults. I'm not a small guy. And like half a Caniac combo is more than enough for me. So
that's what I'm feeling guilty over here that I usually eat one Caniac combo by myself.
I've done it, but you know, I don't have to. Is my
you don't
point.
Feel good about yourself.
Corey, you travel a lot. Do you have any food hacky things off menu, things that you order? Anywhere,
Starbucks. I'm not prepared for that question. I just learned that a place I really enjoy has an actual secret menu. So Torchy's Tacos is a taco chain that started in Austin and then spread to greater Texas. This summer, we got one in Columbus at Polaris. And I have been there now three or four times. And I think my second time there, I learned that there's a secret menu that you can Google, just like In-N-Out Burger in California and other places. So you can Google it. It's just different combinations of their ingredients for specialty tacos that they don't want bums off the street ordering. But if you're in the know, they'll gladly make one for you. So check out the Torchy's Tacos secret menu the next time you head to a Torchy's. It must be chicken night because I went to a place tonight called Nando's. It's a very popular chain. For sure in England, I don't know how much it spreads to the UK. It's a chain that started in South Africa that makes peri peri style chicken, which is just a flame grilled chicken, butterflied out, flame grilled. And then peri peri refers to the different seasonings and sauces that they put on it. Oh, I've heard of this place. I've heard that it's legendary and it delivered. It's really, really good. Speaking of travel, though, Dylan, I'm reminded that game of roulette that you play when you're waiting to see if somebody sits in your aisle, the outcome of that game changes your whole trip, especially for 7-hour international flights. I was sat in the very back of a Boeing 777 and on the window seat, and then there's a guy in the aisle seat, and then there's a seat between us. And I'm just waiting, thinking this is a 7-hour flight. Whether or not somebody sits between us makes all the difference.
Yeah.
Thankfully, no one did. And we had a seat between us. And then you can use that middle tray as like a community tray when you need to move stuff when they serve meals. Speaking of that flight, Kendall, I just discovered a game for my iPad that doesn't require internet that I quite literally played from JFK Airport to London Heathrow, and that's Retro Bowl, which I understand you used to play.
Yeah, actually, I think I've talked about it on here before.
Yeah, I didn't put it together.
No, well, I don't think I used the name or anything. I just said like I was into like some kind of like weird classic football game, but that was the game. And so when you sent that, I was like way excited for you because I remember not only how much fun and how much time I spent season by season, like manufacturing the perfect team, but which I understand, like you chose a different route of method of playing the game. I chose that method, but like I've also decided, like it's been long enough now. I'm gonna re-download that thing and get rolling again.
Heck yeah, so fun! Yeah. So if you're looking for a good mobile game and you enjoy NFL football, especially during this NFL postseason. Get yourself a copy of Retro Bowl. It's free and really, really fun. It's like the perfect amount of team management and customization. And it's like throwback to old Tecmo Bowl. It's really fun. You only play offense.
Straight out the 80s, yeah.
There is no defense. You only play offense. There's no penalties. It's just running and passing, and it's really fun.
It is cool. Awesome. By the way, your defensive coordinator's name is Oyola, and I find that fun. You sent us that text. And I'm like, it's kind of like Ayla, but like a Yiddish way of saying it.
Oyola.
Oyola.
I have one more travel question. Do you ever look across your gate or your terminal to somebody getting on your flight and just by their body language can tell this person's going to be a problem? Like, they're going to have issues with, they're going to be upset with the gate agent. They're going to be a hassle. You can just tell sometimes.
Is it because they have an undercut or what? Like,
it's the sighing, it's their posture, it's the way they're looking around, it's the way they're talking to their significant other or family member. You're just like, this, they're a Karen, right? They're just that type of person.
I can say the last leg from Columbus or Detroit to Columbus, she didn't cause a problem, but I could have, if I was putting money on it, I would have put money on walking up to the gate, young person, female, sitting at the end of a row of all the chairs, super casually, like leg and shoe up onto the next seat, leaning back, just like totally sprawled out with no kind of real respect for like the space around it. Super, super big tennis shoes on, super baggy sweatpants on, tank top, like showing midriff, no bra, super casual, just like, and I say it like none of that in and of itself is bad, but it paints a picture of just how absurd it kind of feels and at an airport. And I don't expect everyone to be dressed up. Like, I was in and out of all the airports in jeans and a polo and my Cole Haan kind of sneakers. But like, I'm casual, but I'm not at the same time. I get it. People want to wear like their pajamas, you know, through the airport or whatever. Fine. But it was just like this, the whole thing, like the AirPods in and, you know, tats. And I just thought, if anyone's going to be a problem on this flight, I would have put money down.
Well, let me paint you a picture for my first leg, which is only a 60 to 90 minute flight from Columbus to JFK. People are already standing at the gate because we're about to board, which means you're 30 minutes from departure, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden rocks up this guy. He's probably 350 pounds, but he's a stylish 350. He has cool clothes. He has joggers on. He has really cool shades and one of those newsy, what are those hats called? The newsy hats, the Patty.
Yeah, like a Scully cap or
a Scully cap. Yeah. But he's panting. He doesn't have his shoes on. So he's ran from security, hoping that he's, you know, okay for boarding. He says something to me, but he mumbles it and he's out of breath. So I don't understand what he's saying. So I just like, they're about ready to board or they're boarding group one right now. And he's like, okay, thanks, man. And he plops down next to somebody that's seated to put his shoes on. And he just starts talking so loudly that the whole gate can hear what he's saying. He's like, I barely got here. And it's just already a problem. Right.
Yeah.
So my company gets priority boarding. So I board with group four. He gets on a little later. Now, when he comes down the aisle, he's huffing and puffing still. With every aisle that he passes, he knocks their shoulders so hard because he's a big dude, but he's also not thinking about his bag that he has.
Yeah.
He's like not even aware. There's no spatial awareness that he's hitting either people or the seats. So then he's like trying to count the rows and he sees what's row and he's like, oh, this is me. And when he turns to put his bag in the overhead bin, he whacks the lady that's on the aisle next to him. She's not in the aisle. She's just trying to get her stuff situated too. Then he puts his roller bag in the overhead bin, takes off the backpack that he just hit her with, and then puts his backpack up there too, filling that whole bin, which you're not supposed to do. You're supposed to put your second bag under the seat in front of you. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that to him, but the fact that he doesn't already know that or care about that is another point of like disrespect. And I'm now more bothered. Then this is when it really ticks me off. He plops down into his seat on the aisle so hard that without pushing the button, the seat goes back into the back position.
Oh, man.
And it stays like that for the rest of the flight. You're not supposed to have that back during takeoff, which is a stupid rule, but it's a rule. And it's 4 inches from my face because I'm sat upright like I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Just like then talking on the phone so loud on takeoff and landing. He called like 3 people to say he was going to JFK. Then he called those same 3 people back when he landed at JFK to let him know that he had landed. Just like everything was an issue.
Did he FaceTime him?
Thankfully,
he didn't. Say he's on speakerphone.
But I'm just like smiling and shaking my head going, I knew this from the minute he walked up to B20. I could just, I don't want to, it had nothing to do with anything other than I could just tell this guy was going to be a problem.
Yeah. Your mind puts all kinds of visual cues together, and you don't know how it did that, but it was right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I can get that.
Speaking
of things that bother you while traveling, I wanted you to know multiple times I saw signs for Buc-ee's, but never saw a Buc-ee's. Like they were nearby ish, but not nearby ish enough that I could find them. Or like if I saw the direction I missed how far off an exit or whatever. And then one day I had to drive from Birmingham, get up, drive to Birmingham to be in Montgomery at 8 a.m. That means I had to leave Birmingham or get up at like 4:30 to drive 3 hours to get to south of Montgomery. No, yes, that's right. The reason I say all that timing is important. I get up, I grab a protein bar from the hotel lobby, eat it at like 4:45. So by the time I do the meeting that I'm there for and we're done, it's like 9:30. So now it's almost like lunchtime, even though it's 9:30. My body's like, you've been up. And this was the day that I was going to go to the Dirk's place. So I was like, I'm going to stop and eat lunch. And then I'm going to go have lunch with these guys after. I'm just going to meet them for lunch and eat whatever I was going to have for lunch. And then as we're leaving the place, the guy's like, just follow us back. And I'm like, ooh, thinking this totally spoils. And I'm like, well, no, that's okay. I got to get gas. He's like, oh, just follow me to the closest gas station. I don't want to go to the closest gas station. I want to go to the gas station by Whataburger. And I'm like, that's okay. If you don't need, you just go ahead and I'll just be 10 minutes behind you. He's like, no, it's fine. Follow me. So I didn't get to go to Whataburger either. And I was very disappointed. I could have just said, hey, I'm fat. It's 9:30 and I want to eat some cheeseburgers. You just go ahead and I'm going to eat lunch with you again in 2 hours. But I didn't say that, but that was the truth.
If I don't get my 9:30 cheeseburger, I'd get cranky.
I don't even know if Whataburger serves cheeseburgers at 9:30, but darn it, I was going to try. So I just wanted you to know, even though they might not be that great, I was going to get Whataburger. And then I saw it a couple more times and it was like taunting me on the highway. But I was in positions where after that, I didn't have time to stop. I had to keep going. So that was something. I'll say that.
I don't know how you miss Buc-ee's. I'm pretty sure those can be seen from the International Space Station.
I know. And the other thing I will say about Alabama, and this is not necessarily, I'm not saying that this is necessarily a problem unless you like variety. As long as you like contemporary Christian music and you are listening to the radio, you are all set. If you want to listen to anything that is not contemporary Christian music or C Christian music or contemporary C music or CC music, You have plenty of options in those categories. You can do that or country or contemporary Christian music. And so all of them sound the same. None of them are playing different songs. I don't know how they all survive, but that is what you have access to as you are driving through the state of Alabama. I just want you to know.
Duly noted. I'm still trying to be quiet over here, but I want to play a quick game before the break. This game is called A Class Act and Thoughtful or Neurotic and Overly Self-Conscious. I'll start. So because I'm hyper aware of the fact that I'm a loud talker, I've been thinking about recording this podcast in a hotel. 10 inches from my mouth right now is the shared wall between me and the next room.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to tell me if this is a class act and thoughtful or neurotic and overly self-conscious. I used hotel stationery and wrote a note. And the note was going to be given to the people in the room on either side of me. And here's what I wrote. I hope you don't find this note odd or too intrusive, but I try to be a courteous hotel neighbor, in quotes. I'm an American traveling for work and also host a podcast. Unfortunately, I need to record at a time that works for my co-hosts in the US tonight, which will be approximately 11:30 p.m. I will try to be quiet and it will only last an hour. Thank you for your patience. And then I put my room number. Is that classy, like Sebastian Maniscalco would say, nice touch? Or is that like a bit excessive and I'm too in my head about things like this?
Yeah, totally the second one.
I mean, you overthought it. I feel like you're talking at like a normal speaking volume.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, if your wife was there with you and you guys were having a discussion at 11:30, yeah, everything would be fine.
I guarantee you, people in the same hotel currently have their TV turned louder than you're talking for the podcast, but on dialogue only content, not on like, you know, planet Earth where there's like waves.
Here was my fear. I would get carried away with the story and make emphasis with volume. And then they'd complain to the front desk and I would get a knock on my door while recording that I would have to take care of. Isn't it better that they know ahead of time what's going on? And I've been nice about it. So they're less likely to get hotel staff up here.
I don't know. That sounds like that would just be content to me, man. Yeah.
Also, I don't know why you needed to be American. Like, you're hanging yourself out to dry on that note.
That explains why he's loud and has a podcast.
That explains why it had to be at 11:30.
Right.
I don't think that was relevant.
That was me planting the seed of why it had to be 11:30. Wow. I'm so bummed. I thought you would say that was classy.
No, you seriously thought that one.
You were leading me on because when I said classy and Sebastian Maniscalco and nice touch, you were nodding. And then
I did that on purpose.
I wanted to lead you on. We'll be right back after we hear a word from some of our friends in Odd Pods Media.
Once upon a time.
Boring.
It was the best of times. It was the worst.
You got that right.
What's your problem?
We want new stories.
Hi, it's Frankie.
And Garrett. And we host the Ever Trending Story, a weekly podcast where we bring to life a fictional story created by our own minds and some of the hottest, craziest trends from the internet.
Find us wherever you download podcasts and be sure to join the fun on social media at Ever Trending Pod.
From the land that brings you Birmingham, I'm now in the land that brings you Birmingham. And I heard an interesting fact about the cabbies that drive the iconic black cabs here in London. That's offensive. And did you know they have to basically memorize the streets of, if not Greater London, Central London, to pass an examination called the knowledge? Where the examiner, the person giving them the test, gives them two destinations on opposite ends of London, and they have to tell the person giving them the test every street that they would take to get from point A to point B. And if you know anything about like a vertical aerial map of London, there's no grid system like we have in a lot of our major cities here in the US. It is a web. It is a cacophony. It is a bowl of noodles of streets. It makes no sense. So what you'll see is late at night, if you're walking 10, 11 at night, you'll see the cab drivers, but they're on scooters with like a map on in between the handlebars and lights. And they're studying, they're driving around London studying for the knowledge so that when they get asked that question, and I don't know if it's one, just they get one question and they don't know the destination or the starting point, or if it's a couple, they give them like 3, 5, 10, I don't know, but they have to be able to say every street that they would get on to go from point A to point B. And then they pass, and then they, so there's like this old school prestige and respect that comes with being a London black cab driver that I think is very cool. And then you've got disruptive stuff like Uber and people that just have phones. And so, but yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Fascinating. I never would have thought that there was that much work. Because that's been like a put in by the drivers. That's been a thing everywhere Uber has been. The yellow cab companies have sort of said like Uber and Lyft are fair. They need to, you know, unionize and pay fair wages and whatever. And I think in a lot of those situations, without the full story, you would think, well, this the yellow cab thing is also kind of a minimum wage job. Like, what's the big deal? That seems like a situation where a lot of thought and time and training are actually going in to like the black cab service, and you go, oh, I get it. This is a big deal. This isn't a part-time job or something that somebody does for a little bit. This is like a serious, you know, profession, something you're testing for. And so it's interesting in that whole bigger argument about like, is Uber good or not? You know, interesting argument coming out of the UK with the black cab drivers.
I just did a quick Google search because I wanted to fact check myself. So multiple articles are saying the knowledge of London test is renowned around the world as being one of, if not the hardest taxi knowledge tests in existence. And there's multiple
articles. Is there a competition for that? Or?
The knowledge, London's legendary taxi driver test puts up a fight in blah, blah, blah. So anyway. Yeah, the most difficult test in the world.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a experiential difference between doing a black cab service or getting an Uber driver, but I'm wondering if there isn't. And so I'm making a potentially false assumption here. If there isn't an experiential difference, is all the extra work and effort and knowledge and everything that gets put into and time put into it, or is it, you know, kind of throwaway because you can do the same thing, accomplish the same goal otherwise?
That's what I was wondering. Like, is there a trust and a prestige and a cool factor? And I've done both, yeah, and I can't tell much of a difference.
Yeah.
Other than you're riding in a black cab, a well-known and established black cab service, like a yellow cab, versus right, some guy and his Civic. Well, there aren't Civics here, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Is there a situation, though, where like you've ever been in an Uber in a place that you know better, and you're telling them like, oh, no, I know it says go that way, but don't go that way, go this way?
No,
because then I'm thinking, is that the equivalent to like you walk into a hotel and you're like the front desk guy, hey, what's a really great local place to eat? And they're like, well, there's a Texas Roadhouse, you know, over there, versus the concierge. It's like, well, what time is it? Okay. If you're going to want a nice sit down meal and you want steak or seafood, you're going to want to go to Papa Do's because they're going to be open much later and they have a bar scene. But like, that's a way different concierge experience and like hotel experience when you have that level of knowledge. I don't know. But then I've seen like Ubers where they put like a Nintendo Switch in the back seat for passengers and they've got like mints and snacks. And like, that's pretty darn good too. So like, I don't know.
The only noticeable difference is the Uber driver already has your destination on their app and it's already plugged into their GPS. When you hop into the black cab, you just say St. Paul's Cathedral from wherever you are in London, and he knows. He's not plugging anything into anything. He's just like, got it. So it's cool. But that's like a server not writing your order down at the restaurant. It's like, are you?
That's a good point.
Are you sure? I mean, I know you took the test.
I mean, I am impressed. Don't get me wrong. It was just a question that I had. I'm glad they're doing it. Good on them. I'm not trying to poo-poo on them, but, you know, that question came to my mind.
Yeah.
Speaking of poo-poo, we like bathroom etiquette questions, and I'm really not trying to be I'm really, really not trying to be childish with this one. I want to know your honest opinion.
Okay. No promises on keeping it above board.
Breaking wind while you're at the urinal. Is that something that you should even hesitate and think about swallowing? Or do you just let it out? Because if grown men can't break wind in one, if there's one safe place for us to be able to do that, it should be in a row of urinals at an office or hotel or airport somewhere in the world. Thoughts?
I think that, first of all, I was a little bit disturbed when you used the word swallow. Second of all, that farting, breaking wind in a men's restroom is akin to free speech, and that you ought to be able to do it. You ought to feel free to do it, and by all means, do it. And I think that men should understand that. And at the same time, if you do do it, then others are free to chuckle. And I think that that's perfectly fine.
That's a really good analogy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's an angle I think that's worth discussing. This will be a little personal for just a moment. I'm not going to use the word swallow, but I can't hold in more than one without starting to get like an upset stomach, like legitimately, like
issue at that point.
It becomes like a, you know, I'm going to be bending over in pain kind of any more than one, and that's it. And so even in situations where it's very serious, and I'm not trying to be funny, but like even like at a funeral or something, it's like, I will have to excuse myself. I can get one. I can stop one. And after that, it's time to exit, you know? So I really kind of have to take advantage of a restroom. And I'll try to like go to the opposite end of the bathroom as somebody, or like wait if somebody's about done, they're about to leave. Like I'll try to wait. But frankly, what people are unleashing inside the urinals and stalls anyways is probably far worse than anything that, you know, I'm also letting go. So there's that consideration. Like for me, I have to. So if anyone's offended by that and we share a restroom and I have to let one go, I'm sorry, but I can't hold it.
I did a quick search on Reddit and I was actually surprised at the responses. Some people were like, yeah, if you can't in there, or if somebody chuckles or gets upset, then shame on them. You should be able to lay them down and break wind directly into their mouth. And other people were like, no, you still have to be courteous. That's gross. Like, I'm thinking, if you're Dylan and you're in that much pain and you're doing that awkward walk to try to make it to the bathroom, congratulations, you've reached the bathroom. That is now the safe place. Do what you got to do.
Yeah, the only other situation I can think of is like, maybe, you know, I'm thinking of one of our nearest malls is Easton Town Center. A lot of the restrooms are already on the extremities of the building, and a lot of it's outdoor. I could see somebody making the argument in a situation where one of those bathrooms is 20 feet from the outside. You could have just gone outside if that's all you needed. But then as an adult, sometimes you have to be careful that really is all you need. You know, you don't have anything extra you need to worry about. So
yeah,
I could
breaking
say
that wind should not have texture.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're at your kid's baseball game and you're outside at a park, well, then clearly you're just going to let it go outside, not go find a restroom and then let it go. But like sometimes middle of an airport, what are you going to do? I mean, you're stuck in there.
Here's one consideration, and I'm sure that listeners can come up with others. So the reason I'm in London is because we're doing one of our executive workshops. That workshop is early tomorrow morning. So I got to log off soon and wind down. There's going to be 30 executives in a room. We have breaks for breakfast. We have breaks for lunch, and we have restroom breaks. If all the dudes from that meeting, COOs, CTOs, CIOs, C-suite level executives, and me, the guy who's there doodling on walls, all go to the restroom, and I've been holding one in for 30 minutes and decide that that's the place I'm going to let it out, it's just a consideration.
Yeah. If I were you, I would walk out of the room, hold your phone up to your ear and say, hello, find the elevator, go to a different floor, find the bathroom. It should be in the same spot, but just lower one down level. One. Down one or up one, same spot. Go find it. Walk into the bathroom, phone in pocket. And then you're fine.
Nice.
And hope that the C-suite didn't have the same idea, mm-hmm. Right?
I was going to ask what the phone was for, but I get it now. That was just an excuse to get me elsewhere.
That was,
I was being polite. Yeah. Taking a phone call somewhere else.
Yes, like you're taking your call.
Like writing a note to the people in the hotel room next to you to explain why. Okay.
Well, no, you don't walk into the bathroom, let her rip and go, I'm an American. So that's why I just did that. They all know why.
Write a note to your neighbors, guys. I'm not used to the food here. And if you start hearing noises in the middle of the night, I just want to say that I'm sorry. My digestive tract usually runs about 2 or 3 hours. So after dinner, it's going to be a little while, but it will die down.
It's too much Guinness. I'm sorry.
Here's a question for you. Because Corey, you travel a lot more than I do, but this is something I was keenly aware of traveling this time. I haven't really traveled a lot for a while. How aware are you of time in between restrooms, knowing more comfortable restroom stops from less comfortable restroom stops? Like, you don't, ideally, you don't want to have to go on the flight if you can help it, right? So you're thinking, they're starting to board, I'm cabin 3, I'm going to go take 5 minutes now, and, you know, I'm going to go take a break now. Same thing with, you don't think about that as a kid. Hotel breakfast, you load up on as much food as you can. You're not thinking about you're going to be in the car for 3 hours after that or whatever. Now as an adult, you're starting to go, what do I really need for breakfast? Mm-hmm. I want to plan this out. How aware are you of those things?
It's so funny. And I know you have strong opinions here. It's something you've mentioned on the podcast before.
Oh yeah, I'm an extreme, but
so I'll just be quick. It's so funny that you asked that, Dylan, but for reasons that I won't go into. Mm-hmm. I never even thought about it until the last year or two. It wasn't even something that I considered. It was like, I'll go when I have to go. I'll always be able to find someplace. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
Lately, and this is one of those I'm getting older things.
Yeah.
You start having some issues. You start getting used to your creature comforts, like your Tushy 3.0 spa. Mm-hmm. You don't have those things while you're on the road. You start carrying wet wipes with you. I didn't think this was a thing I would ever do.
Yeah.
He's like, throw one in your bag. It's a game changer.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You have some plumbing issues. You start thinking about those things. I thought about what I was going to order for dinner tonight at Nando's based on how early I have to get up tomorrow.
Sure.
And the fact that I have to be standing up all day with a bunch of executives in the room.
Yeah. And if I were you, I'd be thinking, I'm just going to make sure that I use the restroom before I leave for that meeting. I'm just going to make sure I do, you know? Yeah. It was just funny, especially the car rides, because I normally when I travel, I won't be traveling that much in between cities. I'll probably be more staying in a city. It just worked out this time that I was like going at this running the length of the state. And so I was very aware that, like, yes, there's always gas stops and yes, there's always whatever, but 4:30 was like the latest I could get up that morning. And I wasn't going to have much time to stop. So it was like, what's the max amount of sleep that gets me there a little early, but not enough to stop three or four times early, you know? Yeah. And so I was very aware of, like, just eat what you need for breakfast. Don't, you know, this is, and the funny thing is I'm normally very like the hotel breakfast. I'm excited because it's free and I get excited about something that's decent or better for free, so to speak. And they had like free range, organic, grass fed scrambled eggs and like the same kind of like turkey and pork sausage. And I was like, this is great. Nice hot breakfast. But I was very aware of, like,
listen, the struggle is real for me right now, because there's full English breakfasts everywhere I go with baked beans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's a good example.
This is a real consideration.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a very pertinent question for you. Interesting. Just thought I would ask. Kendall, you're welcome to share any of your more extreme views.
Well, I think I've talked about it before, but, you know, 180 some odd episodes in, we can repeat stories. So I fast when it comes to traveling, especially with other people, and certainly on an airplane. So I won't eat breakfast. Like, I will stop eating like 12 hours or more before. And because I just don't want to. I have this really weird psycho thing that I do, that my brain does to me, which is I get anxiety about not having an available restroom. And so very often, if I am in a situation where I'm sort of stuck there, and there's no bathroom, for example, driving through a 45-minute Christmas lights show.
Yes.
You know, like things like that. I immediately start to feel like I really have to go to the bathroom, and I kind of like might go into panic mode. Mm-hmm. And most of the time I can mind over matter it, but it's still like I'm fighting it on the inside at the very least. Sometimes I do end up having to like inconvenience other people and just be like, I just have to find a bathroom right now. So I'm going to be leaving, you know, the baseball game or whatever.
Which is funny because if anyone that you cared about was in a situation where they were like, I'm so sorry, I really need to go use the restroom, you'd be like, oh, totally. Yeah. What can I do? Are you going to go find it yourself? Do you need help finding it? You wouldn't care at all, but you're very aware when it's yourself.
Right.
Exactly. For some reason, your loved ones become unforgiving in your head when it's your issue.
And so like, we'll end up like leaving the thing early or like pulling over, even though we just like stopped 10 minutes ago or whatever it is. And like, I caused the inconvenience, and then I'll like run into the bathroom and nothing happens.
Yeah.
Didn't actually have to go. My mind did a thing. I hate it. And so for that reason, especially when flying, I like the day before just stop. I stop eating. I don't want there to be a chance. I want my mind to know that, like, no, you don't have to poop. Like, that's not possible. and so like that's the thing. And it doesn't matter how long the flight is or anything like that. Like, it's, I'm going to fast. I don't care how long. But I will still like visit the restroom before boarding. Nothing's going to happen when I do, but I still try, and then I get to my destination. Sometimes, because I'm a cheap traveler, you know, I get to my destination in the middle of the night and there's like no restaurants open and I'm like really hungry. So,
yeah,
I know you're not doing it to directly benefit your fellow travelers, but you put more thought into your restroom situation than the guy at B20 did his entire flight. He was like, oh, you woke up and went, oh, yeah, I'm flying today. just the spectrum between those two things.
Yeah.
Well, it's amazing, like how prepared you can be for something. Like a couple little things that I'm sure you have all kinds of these little things that you do to like save time and whatever. I think little things that other people have said that are smart. As soon as I park at the airport, I take a picture of the column with the parking section. Boom, don't have to think about it again until I get home and check my camera roll. I load my plane tickets into the wallet app and it puts them on my Apple Watch. So I don't even need, I literally walk up, boop, turn my wrist, scanned on the flight. Don't even have to, no paper thing, not trying to look through my email, put it in the wallet app, get it on Apple Watch, scan your watch. You're on the flight. People aren't scanning anything. There's so many like little things that you can do. move my company travel card to the front of my wallet while I'm traveling. So it's the front card as long as I'm there, and then put it at the back when I'm done. And even that, we use an app called Divi. I don't know if you guys have used it or heard of it. Literally, as soon as I scan it, it pulls up a notification. And if it's over a certain dollar amount, it requires a receipt. I take a picture on my phone, gone, logged through finance immediately. I can leave the receipt back on the table. I don't even have to take it. The reason for the purchase, a couple things in the app. There's so many things that are like so fast and quick and easy. And it's amazing. It's amazing how like efficient you can be without even really thinking about it after the first time.
Yeah. Just a little bit of thought that, you know, there's going to be other people around. What can I do for them?
Yeah.
My phone doesn't take a whole lot.
Yeah. My phone is probably going to die. I'm going to put charge a battery pack and slide it in my case. So that if my phone dies, I just plug it in wherever I am and I can charge my phone.
I do a lot of those. I have so many of those. And then you travel with someone who doesn't travel regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And you see how long everything takes, or how much they fret over one thing, or how long it takes them to do one of the steps that you're just so used to doing. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh yeah.
That's the thing. I don't even travel a lot. It takes 30 seconds to like Google before a trip things to help you travel. Like, you know, whatever. It's incredible. It's really interesting.
When I landed at JFK, because I have the app for every airline that I use, it will tell you what terminal you're going to be landing, what gate and terminal and gate in that order, you're going to be landing in. And then the terminal and gate of your next flight. But this one was American Airlines was getting me to JFK and British Airways was getting me from JFK to Heathrow. So I just opened the British Airways app, look up my flight information, realize, thankfully, it's in the same terminal. So I'm going to either have time or not have time for a bathroom break and a meal. And I won't be having to rush through an airport. Oh, look at that. I'm not currently even checked in with British Airways yet, and I'm about to land and jump on that flight. Oh no, American Airlines' itinerary code for that flight is different than the British Airways itinerary code for the same flight, because they operate each other's planes, but it's not the same in their system. No big deal. Go back to the PDF from my travel agent and my work email, also on my phone, copy and paste the itinerary number, check in for the British Airways flight, put the ticket in my wallet, all while we were landing. Do you know how much somebody who doesn't travel would be like, I didn't print that out at home. What do we do? And then they'd ask a gate agent, and then they'd go to the airline desk and they'd be like, I didn't have... What should I wear? I don't know. And it's like, ma'am, it's right over there. It's not, you know what I mean? It's nothing against them, but they're not used to the process. They're just ignorant to the process.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. I love all the little quick, you'll have to keep throwing out another time or text me a bunch of your quick travel.
TSA tips. Pre-check, $85, good for 5 years. It'll change your life.
I'm going to do that next. Okay.
I promised my neighbors I would wrap up, and this podcast has cut out like two or three times. So Listen, folks, we're not even sure what's recorded. We're just going to show you behind the curtain. We have no idea what's recorded. This might be a piecemeal episode, but we've had fun. It's great catching up with you. Thank you for joining us for another episode of From the Middle, and we will catch you all next time.
Indeed.